Today, our series on men takes us into the online world known as the manosphere. The informal collection of websites, chat rooms, and blogs includes a growing number devoted to the notion of men's rights. The leaders of the men's rights movement say they want to bring more attention to the problems of men and boys. Critics worry these sites are a breeding ground for misogyny, as NPR's Joel Rose reports.
This summer, a few hundred men and a handful of women gathered in a VFW hall near Detroit. The event was billed as the first international conference on men's issues. The crowd wasn't huge, but it was enthusiastic. And speaker after speaker insisted that history would remember this moment.
It's happening here. It's happening now. It's happening with us.
Warren Farrell was one of the keynote speakers at the conference. It's been 21 years since Farrell published a book called The Myth of Male Power. He's often described as the intellectual father of the men's rights movement, though Farrell himself tries to avoid the phrase men's rights.
It's like somebody saying, we're in favor of the king's rights. The average person thinks that men are already at the top of the political structure. They have all the rights. They made all the rules. If anything is going wrong with men, it's their fault, because after all, it's just a consequence of men's rules. And that's just completely missing the point.
Farrell doesn't deny that men make up the vast majority of Congress and corporate boards, but Farrell says that tends to obscure the problems facing millions of men and boys that don't get enough attention. For example, that fathers are often separated from their children by the family court system, that there is no White House Council on Men and Boys and no men's studies departments at universities, and that boys drop out of college and commit suicide at higher rates than girls.
We need to know not only why are our sons committing suicide, but also why are our sons much more likely to be the ones to shoot up schools. We're all in jeopardy if we don't pay attention to the cries of pain and isolation and alienation that are happening among our sons.
This is a dramatic turnaround for a man who was once a leading voice for feminism. In the 1970s, Farrell served on the board of the National Organization for Women in New York City. But he broke with the feminist movement when it strayed, in his view, from the idea that men and women should be equally involved in the workplace and the home. Now, men's rights advocates argue feminism is more concerned with promoting the interests of women, often at the expense of men. That's the view of Paul Elam, who organized the conference in Michigan.
Once we can establish that, by the way, men are human beings, so are boys, it is okay for us to stand and talk about their issues and to seek solutions, even if, God forbid, they're not solutions that are prescribed through the feminist lens.
Elam founded the website A Voice for Men in 2009. He says the site is now drawing tens of thousands of visitors, but critics say this site and others devoted to men's rights generate more heat than light.
The vast majority of men's rights activists don't actually seem to be that interested in doing anything about the issues that they talk about all the time.
David Futrell is a Chicago writer who blogs about the men's rights movement at the site WeHuntedTheMammoth.com.
Essentially, the issues that they bring up are little more than an excuse or an opportunity for them to attack women and blame women for pretty much everything that goes wrong in the world.
Futrell says the leaders of the movement have done little to discourage misogyny in their ranks, and he's not the only one who's concerned. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which normally tracks white supremacists and other hate groups, says the men's rights movement has attracted a, quote, hardline fringe, unquote, who endorse violence and hatred against women. Even Warren Farrell concedes that the movement includes some angry people. But Farrell insists they're a small minority. He says there was plenty of outrageous and even violent rhetoric during the early years of the women's movement, too.
But that didn't stop me and many others from saying, wait a minute, let's get to what is needed here. There's some truth. When a voice is crying out, sometimes distorted and sometimes painful, it's important to understand that anger is often vulnerability's mask. It's so crucial for us to see the vulnerability of the men that are hurting.
The organizers of the Men's Issues Conference in Michigan did make an effort to keep the tone civil. They invited a diverse group of speakers, male and female. Still, there were some remarks that many people might consider offensive. Here is Barbara Kay, a conservative columnist with the National Post in Canada, on the growing number of sexual assaults reported on college campuses.
The vast majority of female students alleging rape on campus are actually voicing buyer's remorse for alcohol-fueled promiscuous behavior involving murky lines of consent on both sides. It's their get-out-of-guilt-free card, you know, like in Monopoly.
The language of the men's rights movement gets even uglier in some corners of the internet when it's directed at critics, especially female ones, and at media reports, including, in all likelihood, this one. Observers say the anonymity of the internet has changed the tone of the discussion, but complaints about feminism are nothing new.
Men making these arguments has been going on now since the late 70s.
Gwyneth Williams is a professor of political science at Webster University. She agrees that some of the problems men's rights activists talk about are real, but the argument that feminism is to blame simply hasn't taken root.
You have to ask yourself, why is it that the claims aren't resonating, you know, in a broad-based way with a lot of men the way feminism did?
But men's rights advocates insist the movement is growing. Paul Elam says he's making plans to hold a second conference on men's issues next year in Washington, D.C. Joel Rose, NPR News.